ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 558 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. As always, thanks so much for listening. This week is a New York Comic Con and Star Trek Comics special. I had the opportunity to interview 4 Star Trek Comics creators while at New York Comic Con this year, and had lots of fun talking about these creators and their relationship to Star Trek, as well as what they're up to. First up is the return of J.K. Woodward, who I've talked with previously on the podcast. Then I talk with Sean Von Gorman, as well as Chris Fanolio, and everything wraps up with Joe Eisma. This was recorded on the main floor of New York Comic Con, so you're going to hear some background noise and other sounds, so be sure to expect those as you listen. It was a great con, and I want to thank Laura McGregor for setting all this up so we could do this. As always, there's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. New York Comic Con, and we're here with J.K. Woodward, who was on Star Trek for a long time, and does it well, I have to say. I was looking at one of your covers, I think this is...
Oh, that's the con-exclusive cover for New York Comic Con, yeah.
Is that you?
Yep, that's me.
Number 400, if you want to get his con-exclusive cover, be sure to do that. So, you've been doing Star Trek a long time. What's it like to do Star Trek now?
Oh, it's a joy. It's an absolute joy. I've been doing it since 2006. And the fact that I'm doing that instead of Marvel or superhero comics tells you everything you need to know about how much I love Star Trek. It's not the biggest title. It's not the it's something I really enjoy. I love waking up every morning and knowing I'm working on Star Trek.
Do you have a version you would prefer that you draw?
A version.
Like Picard or DS9 or which ones would you, if they said you could do any Star Trek you want, which one would you want?
That is a tough question. I'm not good at making choices because I love it all. But I think what I've been dreaming about lately the most is doing some Worf stuff. I would love to do if they ever want to do like a Worf miniseries or something. But as it stands, they're doing a lot of stuff with Worf this year, with the new titles coming out. So I don't think I'm ever going to get that opportunity. But given the choice, I would probably do, I'd love to do a Worf story. Well, either that or Next Generation, the animated series, like a cartoon, because it's so, off, it's not my style, necessarily, you know.
You might want to throw your hat in the ring, because he was just telling me that they announced yesterday they're doing a spinoff.
Yes.
From that and...
The Defiant.
Worf is captaining the Defiant.
Yeah. Well, he's pirating the Defiant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That still might be something you'd be interested in.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I was actually doing a panel, a Star Trek panel for IDW yesterday, and I just shouted that out, I'm doing covers, right? You know, the second they announced it. I kind of put poor Heather on the spot on with that, but she said, yes, you're doing covers.
Oh,
if you want to do covers, I'm like, so, yeah, I will be involved.
Oh, good. Well, that sounds good. Especially if that's the one you want to do.
Oh, yes.
Well, I got to ask you, if you're a Worf fan, what do you think about the Picard version of Worf? They just released the trailer for that.
Yes.
And he's different now.
He is. He's very different. In fact, word is he's a pacifist.
Yeah, he says so in the trailer.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that just yet. We'll have to wait and see how they play it. It really all depends. I'm kind of happy they go in a different direction with Worf, because Worf has always been more Klingon than a Klingon. You know, he's always had that kind of story arc. So him sort of rebelling against what the Empire stands for seems, I don't know, seems kind of interesting. So who knows?
Well, I got to ask you, what do you think of his appearance now? Some people are calling him the Colonel Sanders Dwarf. Because he's got the white all over the place.
Yeah, I love it.
What do you think about that?
I like his look. Yeah, really? That was the first, when they first showed it at San Diego Comic-Con, I was very excited to see it.
Really?
Yeah, I think a little salt and pepper. Yeah, he's aging, you know? So, of course, he's going to look a little older. So, I'm like, yeah, I was happy with that.
Okay, if you can't do Worf, who would you like to do?
Oh, I would love to do an Anson Rowe story, because I feel like that was an underused character. I immediately fell in love with that character when she first came on the scene. And I think that would be the story I would love to tell.
Really?
From a storytelling point of view, much less, more than an artistic point of view. Worf's fun to paint. Rowe would be fun to explore, I think.
Now, what about, have you started writing any of this stuff yet? Because you do most of the art, and you do, like, you're right, you do a painter style.
Yeah.
So it's very, it almost looks like photographs, the way that you do it, which I think is great.
Yeah, I do. Photorealistic. Yeah.
What about writing, though? Have you ever thought about writing this thing?
I do a lot of, it's uncredited, but I do a lot of the plotting with the Tiptons on stuff we work with, especially, particularly with the Mirror Universe stuff that we started. But no, I haven't done any actual writing, certainly nothing credited. I'm better at coming up with story ideas and leaving it to the professionals to do the scripts, you know.
But do you ever get credit for those story ideas?
No, not really. I mean, it's not a secret. We talk about it a lot. you know, if you see me at cons, I'll mention it. Like, oh, yeah, me and Scott were doing this. Me and Dave talked about this. And so it's not a secret that I work with them on the stories. But it's not on the book. You know, nobody gives co-plotting credits anymore. I think that's...
kind of past.
Yeah. I think it's just understood most artists are there a lot of times in the story, in the plot phase, and it's just not... I mean, they used to have, like, a story by credit. You know, they don't do that anymore. So.
All right, so you're going to do the covers for the Worf stories.
Yes.
What else are you working on? Because you obviously did that one cover for Star Trek 400.
Yes.
Other projects you're working on right now, what else are you doing?
Well, if you mean it's Star Trek...
Well,
let's
start there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm pretty much got covers in every series right now. I used to do a lot of sequentials. I've sort of redefined myself as the cover guy, I hope. And so I'll be doing the Defiant series, the new Star Trek series I'll do covers for. In fact, I did issue 2 already.
Oh, wow.
Maybe you've seen it. A couple of miniseries coming up that I'll talk about later. I can't talk about right now.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm pretty much the cover guy now, I hope.
that's a good place to be. I think your art style fits that very well.
I hope so. I like to think so.
I think it does, because...
It's definitely easier to do covers in that style than it is to do sequentials.
Yeah, because you've got to do all kinds of shiftings of the characters.
It's very time-intensive doing the sequential pages.
And also, you can make posters out of your covers.
Yeah.
Sell those.
And they sell better.
Well, I think it's just great. I'm so glad you're still doing Star Trek, because, like I said, I've been reading your Star Trek for a long time, and I've been enjoying it. So I think you're only getting better as you go along.
I appreciate that. I got good news for you. I'll always be doing Star Trek.
Oh, wow.
I mean, as long as they'll have me, I'll never quit. I'm experimenting with some horror stuff now, and I'm doing some other work outside of it, but I'll always come back to Star Trek as long as they'll have me.
That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear it. Next up is Chris Fanolio from who just did Star Trek Lower Decks, which is coming out from IDW, and they have a very special convention exclusive one here. So, Chris, what's it like to do Star Trek?
It's awesome. I've been a big fan of Star Trek since I was a little kid. I grew up with Next Generation when it was on, you know, on TV still, and yeah, I've just always been a big Trek fan. So, being able to work in that world is just dream come true for me.
What's it like to do Lower Decks? Because that's one of the newer Star Treks. Did they give you, like, of course you probably didn't watch the show and get an idea, but did they give you designs of what the characters should look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime you do a license book, they give you some stuff, but they've been, Lower Decks especially, has been exceptionally good with that. They gave me, like, models of the ships if I needed it. They gave me turnarounds of all the characters, screenshots, anything I wanted I could reach out and ask for. So they've been awesome.
The Star Trek is very picky.
Yes.
Let's say. If you have a script and the actor actually says one word wrong, they got to stop everything and run everybody up there and see whether they can approve that. And if they don't, they got to reshoot it and get it exactly right. Did you have that same kind of a thing? Were you able to match the, because, you know, likenesses and stuff is always a big deal. Were you able to match that? Did they give you a little?
I mean, it's easier for me because I'm doing the animated, I'm copying an animated show, so there's no actors' likenesses to really nitpick, you know? It's not like I have to send it back to Patrick Stewart or something like that. But the show creator does approve everything. He only pushed back once on likeness for Jennifer the Andorian, but everything else has just sailed straight through. It's been really great.
Now, as I look in the comic, you're doing not only the Lower Decks people, but other Star Trek people, including some people from Classic Trek.
Yeah.
That race. These aren't the same people in Classic Trek. These are like generations after that.
That's exactly what it was supposed to be. And I think Ryan North even wrote in the script, these are the direct descendants of those characters from the Classic Trek episode.
Yeah, Journey to Eden.
Journey to Eden, yeah, that's the exact one.
I mean, it's interesting that they're made up the same way that they were back in the original. So even their descendants follow the same pattern.
I think they just hand-me-down clothes, you know.
And then, of course, they run into it. This is a new race, right?
No, that one is actually from Next Generation. So they only showed up for, like, or were only, like, visually on screen for about 2 seconds or half a second or something. And the writer, Ryan North, again, he found a screen cap and sent it to me. He was like, this is the alien, this is what they look like. And basically it was just their face, and I made everything else up. But Ryan's Trek knowledge is encyclopedic. Like, he knows almost everything about everything.
Because I like Star Trek, and I've been a fan ever since. Actually, when I first started watching Star Trek, the first one I watched was when they got turned into cubes and one of them got crushed. And I couldn't sleep that night as a kid. And so my mom said, you're not watching that anymore. But as I got into college and stuff, I rediscovered it. And so I've been watching it ever since.
I remember when the first last episode of the first season came on, I was like 4 or 5, the one with the worms. And that one, like, I was terrified of it. And I remember walking in, seeing my mom watching it, walking out of the room, going in the other room, and seeing my dad watching it in a different room, and just being terrified the whole time.
Well, that's good science fiction.
Absolutely.
It connects on several levels. Now, given that we just got to see a trailer of Picard, there's a character that's going to show up in Picard that you got to draw.
Moriarty.
Yeah. What was that like? What was the, because, you know, before this, we had only seen him in that one episode of Next Gen.
I think it's two.
Was it two?
Two episodes.
Okay, yeah. So what was it like to draw him? And did you know the actor likenesses and stuff like that?
It was cool. Again, I didn't have to get anything approved through the actor because I was cartoonifying him. But, I mean, there's no Lower Decks likeness of Moriarty. I had to come up with that. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun to go back and look at those old screen caps and stuff.
Did you know he was going to be in Picard when you were doing this?
I have no prior knowledge of anything.
Okay.
They have.
So you found out yesterday when?
I found out yesterday in the trailer. Yeah.
What was it like when you saw that? You went, oh, that guy, I know that guy.
I literally took, so there's a panel of I drew of Boimler where he says Dr. James Moriarty, or Professor James Moriarty. I tweeted it out and I was like, did someone mention Professor James Moriarty?
Well, that's great. So are you going to be involved with the Lower Decks series going forward?
I would like to be involved with the Lower Decks series as long as they would have me. I love this series. It's so much fun to draw. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's so rewarding to see it on the page and just everybody's reaction to it. People really seem to like the book, so I mean, as long as people want me to draw it, I will try and draw it.
See, I'd love for them to go back to DS9. I'm a DS9 guy. If they went back to there, I'd love to see you draw that.
Oh, God. That sounds so hard. As long as we can do it where I don't have to draw the actual station, can we just...
Well, you can always do like a photo capsule.
There you go. I'll just steal one from the actual show and just put it in. I drew this.
So are there other projects you're working on that we should be aware of?
Right now, pretty much all my time is taken up by Lower Decks. A couple of pitches and things like that, but nothing that's ready for prime time yet.
So let's hope Lower Decks goes on for quite a while.
Yeah, I like to eat.
Do you watch the show when it comes out on Thursdays?
I watch the show when it comes out on Thursdays.
Do you watch all the Star Treks when they come out on Thursdays?
I watch all the Star Treks. I am completely caught up on Star Trek at this point.
Well, good for you, because not everybody is.
No. But I make it a point. And I would have, I mean, even if I wasn't working on it, like, that's one of the few shows, few franchises that the Marvel stuff where I'm like, I have to be up to date all the time.
That's great, because I'm like you. On Thursday morning, I was particularly into Strange New Worlds. And I woke up Thursday morning, and the first thing I did was go to Paramount Plus and watch it.
I love that series. Like, look, don't tell anyone, because, like, obviously I'm getting paid to work on Lower Decks, but Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks, like, I can't decide which one I like more. They're both so good.
Do Lower Decks.
I'm sorry, if anybody's listening, Lower Decks is far superior. It's the best thing that Trek has ever done.
Okay. Well, good luck with it, man, and I hope we get to see a lot more of your art in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Sean Von Gorman.
Of comics.
Of comics, yes. He's a well-known and established comic artist, and he's just about to start his trek into Star Trek. And so, Sean, how are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good. Let's talk about what you've done in the past before we get to Star Trek.
Absolutely.
What will people know you for in comics?
So I have been working comics for about 10 years now. I'm best known for my career on series Toe Tag Riot through Black Mass Studios. I was a contributor to the Love is Love anthology, which won the Eisner for Best Anthology a couple of years ago. And I currently have a book called Ghost Planet coming out through Scout Comics later this month.
Right now, and of course, now as we said, you're getting into Star Trek.
Absolutely.
Talk about what's coming from Star Trek that we should keep our eyes on.
Absolutely. So my very first Star Trek cover is coming out for Star Trek Picard Stargazer number 3. That's going to be the Diamond B variant, but that's my very first Star Trek cover. And I usually when I get asked to do licensed projects, I'll do maybe one thing. They'll never ask me again. So I always go into these things like it's going to be the only time I get to do it. So I really gave it my best and turned in what I think is going to be a timeless cover, sort of like a classic image of Picard and the Stargazer with the Star Trek Delta. And then came to peace with it of like, this is great. I've done what I'm going to do for Star Trek. I've made my contribution as a third generation fan. And then they went in and asked me for more. So there's going to be more, and I'm very excited about it.
So have they told you what you're going to be doing? Is it still been the Stargazer or what?
Well, the next thing I can talk about is I'm doing a cover for Star Trek Resurgence number 2. That's the tie-in book for the video game that's coming out. So I'm doing the Diamond B on that one, too. And funny enough, Josh Hood is a very old friend of mine that we both had books out at the same time when we were with Black Mass Studios. So it's great to kind of like run into each other this way. So I got a look at his interior art. And if you're not a fan of Star Trek or a fan of Star Trek, It's just such a beautiful book. It's definitely worth checking out. It's, I think it's some of Josh's best work, and I've been following him for 10 years now.
So did you play the game before you got to do the book?
Well, it's not out yet, but I... But Trek and IDW are very organized, so they give you... They're able to send you lots of information packets, character designs, rough story concepts. Resurgence can be a lot of fun because they do a lot of deep cuts. So characters you have not seen in decades coming back and getting new, vibrant stories with, in addition, brand new, never before seen characters. So this is a brand new crew, a brand new ship, with brand new adventures. So anything can happen. So no one's safe in this.
So these are characters we haven't seen before.
Absolutely.
So you got to design them?
So I got to work on Josh Hood's interpretations of his original designs, which was fun because as a fan, I have to keep my headcanon of where would this fit in the universe. So thinking, this takes place sort of a few years after, in terms of on TV, this would have been like maybe late 90s. So in my headcanon of this, I'm picturing maybe like a Lawrence brother or one of the Lawrence brothers cast, because that's kind of what his character looks like. So I kind of loosely based it on that family, because maybe in terms of casting, if this show existed, maybe we got a Lawrence brother in the Trek universe somehow. Maybe the franchise wasn't doing so well. They're thinking we got boost ratings. Let's get these Lawrence brothers in on this, which is a lot of fun to create a real likeness to someone who doesn't exist.
I got to ask you, as a long-term Star Trek fan like me,
sure.
What was it like when you got the job to start working on Star Trek? What was your reaction?
I was so excited. I was excited just to even try. So I've been friends with Heather Andrews for a long time. I had been talking with IDW about another project, and on a Zoom call with Heather to see like where we're at with that, she had mentioned that she was on Star Trek now, and my eyes kind of went white for a second. And I'm like, well, Heather, we need to have another conversation after this. So I made a bunch of samples, sent to IDW, waited, you know, a few months, this is over the holidays, and just waiting. I was at Fan Expo in Philadelphia a few months ago, and one of my samples had a picture of Riker and Troy, of like a fun, quirky one. Presented as like, you know, this is Riker's album cover. So he's like got the Riker lean, he's got the trombone, and Deanna's like kind of off in the distance. So Jonathan Franks is at the show. So I introduced myself, my name is Sean. I've been a huge fan of the franchise for years, and I'm actually trying to get work with IDW, and I'm waiting to hear back about this. And he goes, oh, this is great, this is beautiful. He was very sweet, very kind. He talked to me for a while, and then he asked me where he wanted to sign, and so I pointed to his groinal region for that. And he goes, well, I don't want to sign on your heart. I go, well, it's your crotch. And he kind of sighs, and it is my crotch. So I have a sign piece that I did in my portfolio of him writing over his own area.
All right, wow. Of course, that is known one of his better parts.
He is a very gracious individual. So if you have the opportunity to meet him at a show, do not waste the opportunity, for sure.
I saw him one time at a convention, and a kid came up and asked him, he said, I don't understand how the warp drive works. And so the kid started to get into the question, immediately he broke into Volari. He started to sing Volari on there, and when he got done with it, he says, I have no idea how that works next.
Very passionate. I actually met Anson Mel yesterday.
Did you? Oh, wow. Right.
I did a charity piece for New York Comic Con's art auction. That was just like a fan piece. It wasn't through IDW. I just love New York Comic Con. It was to raise money for St. Jude. So I just had a piece I'd been working on, and I had him sign it. And I love Strange New Worlds. I love particularly what he's doing with the character on the show. So got to meet him. Had the art, had a color piece that we had to go with the auction, and then I made another one to kind of offer him, to be like, hey, assuming you would be enamored with this, I'd like to offer this to you if you'd like. And he goes, well, I can't take that, and I'll tell you why, because if I bring that and hang up in my house, my wife will make fun of me. Which was such a skillful no. I didn't even feel bad. I was like, you know what? That makes sense. And you did it in such a charming way that I'm still happy. just to have been around you for a second.
So if we want to keep up with your artwork and moving forward and stuff, obviously you're going to do Star Trek, and you can watch IDW for that. If you have other projects that are coming and stuff, are you on social media that we can
follow? You know, it's funny you should ask, because I very much am. I'm fairly prominent on social media. I'm very active and engaging with my fans. You can find me at Von Gorman Art on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me, I'm now an artist on Zestworld, which is sort of like a new platform for comics and creators, sort of like a webtoon type of thing, where creators sort of have more control over their IEP, and they do their best to sort of promote people, and I'll be launching a new webcomic very soon that I'm very excited about. So if you're not already on Zestworld, you should definitely check it out. There's some great stuff going on. A lot of the other Trek artists, like Liana, who does covers for Strange New Worlds, she's one of their artists as well. It's still new, so the pool of talent is by invite only and select, so the stuff that they're putting out is definitely worth checking out.
Okay, well, much success, man. Thanks so much for talking to me.
The pleasure was mine. All mine. Thank all you. Of it.
The next person I'm talking to is Joe Eisman, artist on Star Trek. How's your convention going, Joe?
It's fantastic. It's probably one of my best shows I've ever had. It's such a great show.
New York is my favorite.
It is mine, too. I love it.
It's just a great thing. So, Star Trek.
Yes.
The latest Star Trek piece or project you did was in Star Trek 400. Why don't you tell people about it?
Yeah, so I drew the Wesley Crusher and Picard story that was written by Will Wheaton, and it's set in the Picard universe, and it's kind of ties in to, I think, the season 2 finale, I think, so I don't want to give any spoilers away or anything.
Yeah, it was an emergency.
Well, by now, season 2 has been out.
Oh, sure.
So I'm not worried about that
okay.
so much.
Well, I didn't want to spoil the comic, you know.
Oh, no, don't spoil the comic. If you saw season 2 of Picard, we see Will Wheaton, his character towards the end.
So yeah, he's the traveler now, and he meets up with Danny at the end of the episode, and we kind of show the lead up to that in this story.
I gotta ask, every time somebody works with a star, it's an interesting process because it's different than it is with a regular writer.
Right.
And especially because it's a Star Trek star.
I know.
That's something. So what was it like to work with him? I mean, did he give you the finished script? Did you talk about the stuff? Did he give you some flexibility? How did that work?
That's a great question. I have worked with on other comic projects before with actors, and it hasn't gone quite as well because, like, and I'm not trying to trash talk them, but you know, they're great at what they do. They know their acting, they know theater and film and all that, TV. But like, comics is kind of its own entity, and not everyone can really get the flow of comics. And but Will, I guess it kind of helps that he's also kind of a nerd. But yes, he gave me a finished script, and Heather Antos, our editor, she worked really closely with me. Will was a delight to work with. He was so great, very encouraging. Wasn't too hands-on in that, like, he didn't micromanage me, is what I'm trying to say. He allowed me to have some creative freedom with like how I interpreted the script and how I told the story, and shot angles and stuff. The suggestions that he did have were always constructive, and they elevated the story, which is what you want in a writer collaboration. So yeah, he was definitely one of the best, like, if not just, you know, an actor collaboration, just like a great writer collaboration. So
what's it like to do the Star Trek thing, though? But because, as I've been pointing out, Star Trek is a very particular franchise.
Yeah.
If an actor goes and they read the script and they miss the script by one word, they have to go back and reshoot that thing.
Right.
Did you run into some of that kind of stuff with this as well?
No, surprisingly. Not a lot of notes. Like, I was really worried about likenesses, because, like, every artist will tell you, I mean, if they tell you, like, they nail likenesses, they're lying, because likenesses are so hard for artists. So, like, I definitely stressed about that, and, like, I didn't want to, like, let Star Trek readers down, because, you know, like, as a fan, if the characters looked way off model, as it were, I would be disappointed. So I definitely worked to make sure that the characters looked authentic, you know, to the era, because, you know, we're coming into the Picard era where he's an older man. He's not next-gen Jean-Luc. He's, you know, Picard Jean-Luc. And, you know, our story kind of covers a lot of eras. So, like, I had to be able to tell, for the readers to tell, you know, Wesley at the various stages of his life that we touched on in the story. But I didn't get any pushback. You know, nothing that, like, you know, oh, you did, this doesn't look like Wesley, you need to redraw it. You know, it was all pretty encouraging.
How did you get chosen to do it? I mean, did they give you a bunch to choose from, or did they pick you?
This is the one I was given. So, like I said, I was brought into this project by Heather Antos, the editor. We've worked together on another project that's out now, and so we had a good working relationship, but she had contacted me shortly before San Diego Comic-Con. It was like, do you want to draw Star Trek? I'm like, yes. And she later told me that it was written by Will Wheaton. So, like, because I knew they were doing a big Milestone 400 issue, but I didn't know. And I heard that Will Wheaton was doing the story, but I didn't know which one of those I was going to get. So I was, like, surprised. I was like, this is the one I'm getting? That's, like, you know, first of all, that's awesome. And also, it's like, oh, my God, the pressure, you know.
Great. Do you want to do more Star Trek? Now that you've done that, you've put your toe in the water. Have you expressed interest in doing more Star Trek?
Yes, I would. I would love to. I'm a longtime fan ever since I was a kid. So, of course, yeah, I would love to do many, many more Star Trek stories.
Do you have a preference? If they came to you and say, okay, you can do whatever Star Trek you want, which one would you tell them?
So, like everybody else, I am, like, head over heels in love with Strange New Worlds. That is, like, my favorite. I've been a fan since, like, when I was a little kid. First one I saw was Wrath of Khan in 1982. But, like, you kind of have ebbs and flows of fandom sometimes, and I was kind of not, you know, like, I mean, I'd seen Picard and Discovery, and I liked them, but, like, Strange New Worlds, like, was like a bolt of lightning. I just loved it. Like, it represented every kind of storytelling that I want to do in Star Trek, and I know they have a Strange New Worlds comic, but, you know, like, that would be, like, my brass ring right there. But I also love Deep Space Nine. That is like that was my favorite before Strange New Worlds.
Thank you.
And so I love Sisko and all those characters. I would love to do a book set on Deep Space Nine, or just with those characters, you know. Those are like my two favorites right there.
Did you see the Lower Decks episode where they went to Deep Space Nine?
I haven't yet, but I'm like, because I've been so busy getting ready for the show, and I'm like, I need to watch it. And I'm like,
I encourage you to watch it.
Oh, I can't wait.
As a DS9 fan myself, that's my favorite of all the stuff.
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
They showed a preview in the trailer before the season.
Yeah.
And every episode would come on, like, where's DS9? They teased it.
Yeah.
It finally came out, and you got Ben Avizer and Armin Zimmerman, their voices.
Yeah, that's great.
And of course, Morn's in there, but sure, Morn is Morn.
Right.
So all those things are going on in there. It was a well done episode. It's my favorite of the Lower Decks.
Oh, that's fantastic. Episodes. I can't wait. My problem is my wife wants to watch all these shows with me, and so, like, we have to, like, have a time where we can both watch it, because if I watch it without her, like, oh my God.
Okay.
It's like the end of the world. Like, how dare you watch it without me?
I've had friends like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I usually do it, like, sneak it in.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then I say, oh, let's watch it now.
It's not a bad idea. I hope she doesn't listen or get wind of this interview.
Now, see, Strange New Worlds to me, I'm a fan from. I watched Classic Trek when it first came on. I told the story in other interviews.
Sure.
But there was this one episode where they got turned into cubes and one of them got crushed.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep that night. I was afraid I'd be turned into a cube.
Oh my God.
So my mom said, you can't watch that anymore. So it wasn't until I got to high school and college that I finally got to start watching, and I got to be a big fan of it.
No, that's nice.
As a result of that. So that's great that it's Strange New Worlds. I hope you get to do it, because I'm like you. I just, every Thursday morning I wake up, the first thing I do is watch Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
And there was this wonderful meme somebody did of, you know, the picture where Ethan Peck's Spock is screaming.
Oh, yeah.
And the meme says, Thursday mornings without a new Strange New Worlds episode.
Yeah.
And I said, that's so me. I like the other ones. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Star Trek guy. I watch every Star Trek.
Yeah.
But when it's not Strange New Worlds, I look for that to come back sometimes.
And I mean, like, you know, of course everybody loves Anson Mount, and, like, what, and they always talk about his hair.
Yes.
And what's so funny to me is because, like, I, I started going gray like 10 years ago, and like, you know, of course, like when you first start going gray, you're like, oh man, this is a drag, you know. But like my wife and everybody's like, I love your hair, I love your hair, the gray hair. And like now he's like totally legitimizing gray hair for everybody. I'm like, thank you.
Well, maybe they'll do a Pike miniseries.
That would be great. I would totally draw
to do that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
It's good talking with you.
It's great talking with you.
Keep up the wonderful stuff. I hope you get to do a lot more talking.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.